Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSaintPete.com.
RadioSaintPete.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
If you're not a regular to this type of radio, here's a word of caution. You may find it explicit. You decide if Tampa Bay Radio is blaring out airwaves or shockwaves.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Bert Kreischer, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio and RadioSaintPete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name's Will Kuntz. Anna Hummel will be joining me very shortly. You can hear us respectively on our own radio programs for however long they last. You just got to savor the moment, baby. You can find me when the Tampa Bay Lightning are not on 102.5 The Bone on the Johnny B Show, 8 to 10 for the time being. I don't know. Maybe that'll change in the future. I don't know. Just saying. Right now, that's what it is. And Anna Hummel's on the Bubble Love Sponge show. So check everybody out. I don't know what to say. It's a tough day. Tough day for me recording this on the day I found out that the show that I'm on is losing a lot of time because of the new arrangement between the radio station and a predominant hockey team that plays in the Tampa Bay area, which is awesome, but also, you know, it's just bad for us. So what can you do? 813-693-2124. I'm going to speak with Anna Hummel about that. The disappointment, the unrequited love of this profession of radio broadcasting in 2022 in an archaic art form that is currently changing and morphing into the new digital age. And as it happens, I go with it. So we're going to find out what the future holds. It should be interesting, perhaps tragic, perhaps a hero's journey where I come out on top. I don't know. Let's find out together, and let's talk to Anna Hummel. Welcome to the show. Interesting day for me today.
Yeah. A premonition you thought would come true actually did, so.
Sure did. Many such cases, I might add. I can't think of one off the top of my head of which I was like, nailed it, but I know that I have, in fact. Hi, Gouda. Oh, my God. How cute the animal is there. Hi, Gouda. Wave hello to everybody. Show everybody your underdeveloped dong, you sick bastard. That's what it is. the cat likes the attention, and we need to get an animal OnlyFans, which is coming down the line very soon, I'm sure, for this sick pervert dickhead. anyway, yeah, interesting day for me today. Of course, everybody knows it was a big announcement today at the radio station that I work at where they got the contract for the Tampa Bay Lightning, which means that when the Lightning are on, it's around 7 o'clock is when games start. 7, 7.30, maybe sometimes 8. That's when the hockey games usually start, which means we're off the air when that happens.
When does hockey season start? October?
October, yeah. About 3 or 4 weeks it starts up. So it's a... Look, man, first of all, shout
out. Let it out, Will. Hey, Will, yeah. Let it out.
Well, I don't really have much to let out. I mean, I'm obviously it stinks. I you know what? Really, I don't. Obviously, I knew it was coming. It was something that I kind of figured out along the way. I really knew when my boss asked me to, hey, are you available to run some NHL games perhaps in the near future to get some hours? For this opportunity, hours are what they like to dangle over you here. I replied that I don't need hours. I work many hours unpaid. What I need is either more money or definitely not a opportunity that's an hourly an opportunity. I need something that's more of a salary type of situation as I approach the ripe old age of 40. However, I get, you know, they're seeing what's up. So I get it. And you kind of responded back, I get it. No problem. Don't worry about it. So I knew it was coming. I wish they would just be more honest. And I know
can I ask financially what that means for you? So when there's a game, you don't come in at all.
Correct.
And you don't get those hours, obviously.
Correct. Yeah. So it's going to hurt me a little bit. Okay. You know, it is what it is. I'll find other things to do. I'm going to start doing more YouTube videos. I'm going to start doing more podcasts and stuff during that time when we're down. So, you know, some people aren't hockey fans, so hopefully they'll come check me out and spend some time, you know, with me either on a live stream or video or podcast. And hopefully I can devote that time to building this YouTube up. And that's the future anyways, right? So I don't know. We'll see. I don't know what the future, and really, I don't even know what the future holds. So maybe there is a plan, and I just don't know about it because I'm not told anything ever by anyone. I'm kind of just 8 to 10, and that's really all.
Honestly, I mean, in their defense, they don't tell anyone anything because communication is not the strong suit of the management over where you work. Which you don't have to agree with or anything like that. I will say it from my own perspective. They don't employ me anymore, so I can say whatever I want without fear of getting fired. So, but there were many occasions where there was just like a lack of management and communication where even just like a heads up or an email would have bypassed so many problems. But it was just overlooked. Like, and it wasn't just once. Like, it would happen kind of on the regular. But a lot of it was, you're right, the fact that, quote, we just didn't matter. And so it was like, oh, yeah, we told the whole staff, and then except for the night guys, you know? So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't really know. I don't know, Anna, with that. It's frustrating to me. But, again, it's just that's what it is. You know, I'm the low man on the totem pole. And why I think that we put out a good product and, you know, we're in the minor leagues and we're not we're not up there. We don't need to know. It's on a need to know basis, and we don't need to know. So that's fine. Although I did find out we're having a big event next month as well that I'm supposed to be.
I didn't see that.
It's the 10th anniversary party. There's going to be Jerry Springer is coming down and hosting it.
At the Capitol Theater, right? That's pretty big.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a great event. I think as long as you buy a ticket, you're able to go. They're pretty expensive ticket.
They probably went like $20. You just don't want me to go, do you?
No, I think they're more than that. I think they're like $75 to tell you the truth. Supposedly all the Bone personalities are going to be there. I don't know if I'm going to be there because I'm supposed to be out of town. If I can move some things around, then I guess I'll try to make it.
What's the date? October?
I don't know. It's go to theboneonline.com. It's sometime in October next month. So that should, I don't really know. Apparently we're supposed to, everything, again, this is, goes back to a communication thing. Anything that I learned about this event, I heard about it like everybody else did that morning. And, I was like, oh, that's a cool thing. And then I was listening later on to Drew. And then he was like, yeah, everybody's going to prepare something, like some sort of special thing to commemorate 10 years. I didn't know that. I mean, like, I didn't know any of this. So they've already had the heads up to kind of work on their thing. And I don't know what Johnny and I are going to do. I might just shoot myself. I'm not pulling R. Bud Dwyer. I'm not totally positive what I'm going to do yet. But I'm sure it'll be something fun. So get your tickets right now, theboneonline.com. So, yeah, that was another thing that bothered. I guess we did get a month's heads up, but... You know, in one of the emails, it's like, oh, we didn't want anybody to ruin it, you know, before the announcement. It's like, all right, well, just say don't ruin it. Don't, this is a secret. But, okay, I guess he thinks we have a head injury or a low IQ. So that's fine, too. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a tough day. But, you know, the thing that really bothered me about it was, like, some people that don't like you finally have something that they can hold over your head and, like, kick you in the nuts. That's what Bobby,
what was said specifically with the hockey stuff.
Oh, well, it's just they're going to be airing the hockey games on the Bone.
Didn't you? I thought you said something in prep where.
No. I think the thing was, you know, obviously, and I will say that we don't really get much. Johnny and I don't really get much people that don't like us, but everybody gets people that don't like them. And I get it, but it's really something they can, like, hold over you. Because obviously we're going to be off the air those nights, most likely when the Lightning are playing. That's the time slot that we're in. But they can't just call you names or something. Like, they finally have something they can, and these are nobody. These are people I don't know. They just, for whatever reason, I'm not their cup of tea. Johnny's not their cup of tea. And they can finally say something to, like, try to hurt us.
Oh, so nothing's been said. You're just anticipating the ammunition people now have against you.
It's more just, it's like stranger. It's nobody's. It's strange. I don't know who this, it was one comment that I saw on Instagram, and it was like, it was something rude, and like, you can't even respond because they get like, it hurt. Yeah, this obviously, it hurts my feelings, and it's something that that bothers me because I'm trying to make this a career, and you know, they finally have something they can dangle over you and get you. You know, so that was a thing that annoyed me today. It was just one moron. But, you know, and I get it, too. Like, I'm not dead. So I was going to say dancing on people's graves. But you know what I mean? That expression, like if you want to do that when somebody's down, fine. I get the situation we're in as far as not even this, but the world. Like, things are bad and people are sad and mad and they don't have anybody to lash out at. So if that makes you feel better, where you could stick it to me with one little Instagram comment and it hurt me today, I'm for it. I'll be your Jesus today. So if you want to say anything hurtful or mean, like, today's the day to do it, because it will hurt me today. But tomorrow I'll be fine. So if you'd like to do that in a comment.
Find out, is it an email or did you find out on social media
about the hockey stuff?
Mm-hmm.
I found out like everybody else did on the Mike Calta show this morning. I mean, I knew, like I said, when I got the email, like, hey, are you available to, they wanted me to run the board, you know, during the hockey game so I could kind of keep my hours and whatever. And I declined that because I feel like that's just going backwards. And we already regressed. This time last year it was, you know, we got cut an hour from the show, but we got moved back an hour. So it was kind of like even kind of split, not really, because we still lost an hour, but at least there was something positive that came along with it. Instead of finishing at midnight, we were done at 10, and now it's like the next year, it's, well, you're probably going to be off the air of a fourth to a, you know, a third of 6 months. Hockey season and the Lightning are good, so they'll probably be back in the playoffs, which means probably even longer than 6 months. You're talking like 8 months. or right. something that's going to be. So, but I don't know. Like, I don't really want to react too much yet because I don't know what's going on other than right. what other people know. So, I don't want to like start just trashing people. And
well, you know what they say, when God closes a window, he opens a door, or some, I almost said the S word, or yeah. some stuff like that. So,
it's true.
You know, I'm not saying that this is a good thing, but sometimes when things look like they're a bad thing, it allows you more time and opportunity, like you said, to work on something else, put resources into something else. So, you know, right. unfortunately, now it's up to you to kind of be the determining factor of, you know, if something productive comes out of this. Because, yeah. I mean, I stew over this a lot, but, you know, I think about when I got fired from the Bone. And for a good week, I thought I was done in radio. Completely. Like, I was like, there's no other game in town. What am I going to work at FLZ? What am I going to work sports? I can't. I have zero skills. I dropped out of grad school. I'm going to go back to being like a friggin' bartender or something. I love radio. It doesn't love me back. What am I going to do? I moved across the country for this job. It's over. I'm over. Whatever shall I do? And everything worked out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously. And but also there's a factor of luck in that as well. I was kind of in the right place at the right time, friends with the right people before they went crazy on me sort of deal, got me in the door to a place that I initially hated for 3 months. But, you know, once I got through that hazing period, it has been, you know, monumental. So,
yeah, that's been my course in life that I found too, is it seems pretty bleak. And right when it seems bleak is something happens. So I'm almost a little excited. Not that it's like super bleak. It's just unfortunate that, you know, that this kind of happened to us, but like, who knows? Maybe something. Shout out to John Senning, by the way, the only person to text and be like, hey, thinking about you today. That's all he said. I don't think anybody does dislike that man. There's a lot of people that dislike me, and I get why. I certainly understand why. But John is just such a sweet, sweet human being.
He's very likable. Now, the games you said start at 7, so is any other show affected, or is it just you and Johnny?
Mo is 6 to 8.
So, oh, that's right.
Okay. So he's probably going to be preempted quite a bit too, often. When we are, I would imagine he will be. And even Drew, I think there's some afternoon games from time to time. So I don't know if that he'll be preempted too, or how that's going to work. Again, like, I don't know anything. I just know that it is happening, and I don't know what the future plans are. No one's expressed anything to me. That is frustrating, but, you know, it is what it is. And I like, this is a big move for the station. You know, the partnership is tremendous. The Lightning are a great organization.
I don't know if you know the details, but what's the contract? Is it just this year or is it?
Okay. No idea. No idea. I know as much as anybody else who listens to the radio station knows. But it's a great thing. The business end of it, I totally get. And yeah, it does affect us. It stinks, but it's such a great thing for the radio station. And, you know, I do like that, but it just stinks that it kind of affects us and what we do. But who knows what's going to happen in the future. So we'll see. Jason Clark says, so you're saying root against Lightning? Never, never, Jason, go Lightning. We're talking another Stanley Cup here this year, I think. Eric says, hopefully on hockey nights, a Johnny B show will be after the game instead of Calton reruns. Maybe. I don't know, Eric. We'll see. Jason again says, you're going places, Will. Keep up the good work. You've come a long way since Stay Woke. Thanks, man. Thanks, man. Eric says, F them. Thank you, Chef Voodoo Chef. Appreciate that.
Voodoo.
Agreed. David Council says, hi, everybody. I like that. Eric says he misses you. Well, she's right here.
Yes, resident dead girl.
Yeah, she's right here. Let's see. And then Jim says, boring as usual.
Yep.
Womp, womp. Thanks, Jim. Well, like I said, today's the day.
I too, received some some bad news over the last, this is such a white, not a white person problem. That's, I shouldn't say that. This is a first world problem. So I was set to go to Puerto Rico this weekend. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh yeah. Didn't you buy plane tickets and everything?
The boyfriend did buy the plane tickets. I was just about to book the Airbnb when all of a sudden a very quiet hurricane season turned into a tropical depression or a wave or something. There was some sort of activity in the Atlantic that was raising eyebrows. And, you know, we kind of waited almost the last minute to make sure before we canceled the trip. But it turns out even if it doesn't develop into, I think it's right now a depression, even if it doesn't develop into a hurricane, it's like, the whole trip would be ruined because it would just be raining and thundering the entire time. So what's the point?
You know who's you know who's to blame for that?
God.
Nope.
Oh.
Worse. Johnny Bell. Johnny, I don't know if you know this, but has a predilection to dare Mother Nature. I think you were around. Yeah, you know what I'm
talking was
about.
Around. Yes. Okay. What and did he do this time?
Last week he was talking crap again. Like, bring it on. I'm ready. Oh, no hurricanes. Oh, you got this little punk-ass storm in the Atlantic Ocean. This is when Danielle was cooking up there, going up and hitting England or something. And he made a challenge to Mother Nature. And it appears that Mother Nature has responded with this tropical disturbance heading to the Caribbean, which ruined your vacation and may affect the lives of everybody in, if not in Florida, perhaps the Tampa Bay area, if it scoots up along the coast and pulls up.
Yeah, I did see that. Something about a Fiona. I think they've named it. So
oh, already.
I think. I could be wrong, but I think I just saw something about naming whatever is on its way up to Florida. So, you know, it is what it is. It's not a big deal, but I have a four-day weekend to do what with, I don't know. So, so we'll see. We'll see.
What's
maybe
the,
some jiu-jitsu.
Why do you have off for 4 days? It's not like a holiday.
No, it's not a holiday. Bubba the Love Sponge, my employer, I'm the host of the Bubba the Love Sponge show, has been more willing to do more things regarding self-care, including taking time off, seeing friends and family. You know, so what he does, what he likes to do is instead of taking, like, you know, 2 full weeks off. Shut up, Kat. Instead of taking 2 full weeks off and, like, you know, do Christmas or something like that, he likes to take or like a spring break. Shut up. Sorry.
Wow.
He likes to take these extended weekends, like a few weekends, you know, throughout the year.
Okay.
So he's going to Ellijay, Georgia, to stay in a cabin over the weekend.
Oh, paradise.
Yes. And so we were thinking, hey, let's get out of here. Let's go do something fun because we got this random four-day weekend, which is always the best because holiday weekends prices, you know, skyrocket and stuff. But if it's just a random weekend, it's awesome. Mm. Well, you know, whatever. So now I don't know what I will be doing for the next 4 days. But maybe I'll just take some more jujitsu and get choked out and do that. So we'll see.
Want to make some YouTube vids?
Some YouTube vids?
Yeah.
All
right. You don't have to answer right now.
We'll discuss scheduling. Yeah, we'll discuss scheduling, but that's a possibility for sure.
Okay, good, good. You know, I wanted to touch on on something else. Well, I'm sorry about your trip, by the way. That's
no worries.
That's unfortunate. But I did want to talk to you. I had something about Gisele Bündchen's husband and her, but I feel like this is going to be kind of pressing since we are, I was going to say, oh my God, I almost said celebrated, not celebrate, but commemorated the anniversary of September 11th. And I saw a story and I feel like sometimes when we do talk any sort of politics, we end up, it looks like we're MAGA people from time to time. So I wanted to take an opportunity to crap on a neocon this week. Do you remember Ari Fleischer? Is that his name? Let me make sure I'm saying the right thing here.
Nope.
Ari Fleischer. He was the press secretary under George W. Bush for a period of time. Now, since 2013, he has gathered his notes and his recollection and live tweeted the events of September 11th. I don't know why he just doesn't go back and retweet these, but he finds the will and the nerve to actually go back in his memory and talk about what it was like that day, since he was, you know, aware and there and ever present, in this moment. He was a press secretary. This year, he decided not to do that. He said, I've decided that my story has been told, and I will not live tweet what took place on 9/11 again. He said that on September 10th. He said, in truth, it is exhausting to relive that day. It wears me down to go through it, even though I am not the one who suffered the most. Well, at least he put that, you know, in the tweet. These people are true monsters, and I'll tell you why. So what's different this year? He does this every year. So why now? Why is he too exhausted to do it? Well, he signed up, his firm signed up to represent Live Golf, whatever it is, LIV Golf Tour. Are you familiar?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Saudi-backed professional golf tournament. His firm, Fleischer Communications, went ahead and is now representing the Saudi-based golf thing. And has been since June 2022.
And then why do people have a problem with this league? I mean, Saudi Arabia is a is run by evil demons, but so are we.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the correlation. I understand that are they trying to draw, say, that the Saudis were responsible for September 11th. I know that it was, I believe it was, 19 Saudi nationals, two Egyptian nationals, but it was Al Qaeda. It wasn't the government of Saudi Arabia. Although, you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, I think that they may have been, but publicly it was Al Qaeda that took responsibility for the, or took credit for 9/11. So Why are people so upset about this? We do business with Saudi Arabia all the time.
Yeah, but it just seems like that's the only thing that changed. Every year he painstakingly goes through his memory, his notes, gets it out, live tweets it, gets a bunch of retweets and probably a bunch of follows, says, hey, I have this firm now, but you can sign up here if you want to be a part of what I'm doing. And now when he works for a Saudi-based company, he's saying, I can't do it anymore. It's just too much. Like, do you really believe that this is of his own free will, or do you think that he was told maybe, hey, let's not this year? How about that?
Well, of course the latter.
But that's the whole thing, right? So all it takes is a little bit of money for people who have shilled and have, communicated their experience and their the pain that they went through. All it takes is a few million dollars to go, eh. Again, I don't necessarily blame him.
I think he was virtue signaling, you know, when he was doing the live tweets every year after 9/11 too.
For sure.
Like, oh, remember me?
Yeah.
Remember
I was here.
I was press secretary. Like, everything is done in self-interest. I don't see how this is any different.
Yeah.
You know?
He did say that, he said, as I explained in my tweets, I had to board a flight to travel. And the fact that after 21 years, there is nothing new to say or reveal led me to the decision to be made. Any other reason is a conspiracy theory.
Did he have to make a statement at all? Why couldn't he just be quiet?
He should have just...
And just disappear into the abyss.
Agreed. I get it. Hey, I totally get it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't take a bunch of money and start shilling for the Saudis, because I might. I don't have any. I mean, you're right. It's the same thing. This is all them, us. When I say us, I mean, of course, our country. They work together. They blow each other up. It's just part of the deal.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that I wouldn't take money from Saudi Arabia, because at this point, I'll take money from just about anybody. Things are getting bleak. That's why I don't mind if you want to say mean stuff to me today, mm-hmm. because I get it. It's bad. And if that mm-hmm. makes you feel better, I just hope that some prince is potentially watching this stream or will come across it somehow. Maybe I should title it Hello to My Friends in the Saudi Kingdom. Maybe that's what I'll title this podcast. And that way, hopefully, we'll get their attention And if something does happen, Anna, you are entitled to a certain percentage of this.
Oh, wonderful. Endeavor. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm happy to spread the wealth and the blood money as far as I can.
I'll take blood money.
Me
no
too.
No problem. If I don't, somebody else is gonna, so.
If we don't, somebody else will.
Better
exactly.
Better my hands than yours.
Exactly. It's just, I don't know. I mean, this guy is not a good human being. Few of us are these days, but.
Well, what I've learned in my deep dive into everything CIA, because I am obsessed, you know, what they're really looking for and what most people are capable of is ethical flexibility, right?
Mm.
You wouldn't kill anybody, but if they start threatening your family or something, you're more than welcome to, or you'd be more than willing to go ahead and exert violence on them. Saying, even if you stated before that I could never kill anybody, now all of a sudden situation has changed. Someone's threatened you. Someone tried to hurt you. Now you're willing to hurt them. That's obviously like a pretty obvious example, but you know, as you get more nuanced, you'll be willing to do more things in different types of situations if you feel like the ends justify the means. And that's really what I looked at. That's what I've been hearing about when I've been looking into CIA and CIA recruitment and the kind of people that they're looking for is people that can kind of do that sort of thing where they can kind of justify, okay, maybe this isn't really ethically moral, but in the name of national security, homeland security, we're going to go ahead and do it.
I was listening to this podcast that some would label a conspiracy podcast. All of it was very well sourced, I will say. Most of the articles came from, I would say, credentialed news organizations, mainstream news organizations. And when I was going through and I, you know, sometimes when you're listening to a podcast, you're not actively listening. You're kind of passively listening, but then something will catch your attention. And something caught my attention where it kind of made me jump back because of the current time and date that we're in. And it kind of goes back to the 9/11 anniversary. Did you know that Osama bin Laden was an activist against climate change?
I did not, no.
Neither did I, but it turns out, let me pull up the thing here. I got to be my own producer, so I got to share the screen, and then we're going to go to Brave tab. I'm sorry, but I have to speak out loud, otherwise I'll get to here we go. There it is, right there. Osama bin Laden, this is Newsweek too, by the way. I don't want you to think I'm on some weirdo website. Newsweek, this is from March 2016, this article came out. But it said that Osama bin Laden wrote a letter calling for the American people to help President Barack Obama fight catastrophic climate change and, quote, save humanity. And the latest evidence of his worries about environmental issues, newly released documents show. I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know anybody can think that this is real anymore. I mean, like, I know that planes hit the towers. I get that. There's some speculation of whether there was people on there, on the planes. I mean, there was obviously people in the buildings. But I think that probably happened, okay? But not honestly, now I kind of question everything. I don't know what's real and what's fake anymore. But to say that Osama bin Laden was a climate change activist, does that not just ring as absurd to anybody else? Or does people just go, oh, that's interesting?
I don't think so. I think people are, what's the word I'm looking for? Not compartmentalized, but kind of. Like, each person's character is compartmentalized. You could say, like, oh, you know, Hitler hated the Jews, but he was also a vegetarian.
Yeah,
or
right.
Saddam Hussein was a monster that gassed the Kuwaitis, but he also did wonderful things for the Iraqi infrastructure. You know what I mean? So, which is true. He helped with the economy, did great things for the Iraqi infrastructure, but he also gassed, you know, Kuwaitis and stuff like that. So people are nuanced. People are compartmentalized. So it's very strange.
But do you think that Osama bin Laden was a climate change activist? Because, I mean, there's been... What's that?
I mean, it doesn't strike me as such. I mean, if you're really worried about the climate, I assume, you know, flying a few planes into buildings with all of the combustion and the rubble and things like that, I imagine that's probably not great for the environment. But I don't know. I think he was just looking for anything to kind of attack America, and he saw that maybe he could sort of curry favor with some of the crazy lefties that were like, hey, you know, look at this guy, he's not so bad. Yeah, he orchestrated 9/11, but he also cares about grass and the dolphins. So how bad can he be?
So you do, I mean, you do believe that he thought this, because I think it's just like an intelligence plan.
It's perfectly conceivable to say anything. I mean,
okay,
yeah. Yeah. Do I think he actually meant it? Probably not, but he probably said it.
Well,
you know,
I mean, obviously now people are obsessed with the climate change thing. And I'm hoping YouTube doesn't strike me for even saying the words climate change. I'm not saying it's, well, never mind. I'm just going to say that Osama bin Laden was concerned about it, as are we here at this program. But I don't think there's any chance that he said anything about this. He said that in the letter, apparently, that the CIA wrote, he said that bin Laden blamed the 2007-08 U.S. financial crisis on corporate control of capital and corporate lobbyists and the U.S.-led wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. Okay, but, well, maybe he did. I mean, that seems pretty reasonable. A lot of people think that. I think that. So I don't know.
Well, this was a man who just hated the West and hated America. So any chance he has to throw stones about anything, he's going to do that, you know. And it's easy to write something and not mean it. I do it all the time.
It's right. But it's also easy to just like say that it's like the CIA goes, yeah. Hey, I found this letter. It's crazy. He's worried about climate.
Like, so what do you think about the climate? And he's just like, yeah, they suck. Hate America. They need to worry about, you know, methane gas from cow burps.
Yeah.
End story. Like,
yeah, it's like the worst person is still worried about this thing. And so you should be concerned about it as well and eat bugs. That's important. That's very important for the future to save humanity. It seems like you would want to maybe like wipe out at least a section. I think climate change probably affect this country more so than Saudi Arabia or Afghanistan. So you would think you'd kind of be rooting it on if you knew the implications. But I don't know. I was blown away when I saw that just with the where we're at right now. And it was like a precursor to that whole thing. He was the first Greta Thunberg, really, Osama bin Laden. So
he really was a minimalist. Yeah, probably not by choice at the end when he was living in a cave in Pakistan. But yeah, he really did live a very minimalistic lifestyle.
He sure did. Where were you that day, September 11th, 2001?
Oh, I thought you were going to say when bin Laden was captured and killed. I was in ninth grade, San Diego. I have like a vivid memory of my grandmother who lived with us at the time, like banging on my mom's bedroom door because my dad would go to work early at like 5. And she was like banging on the door, telling my mom to like put on the TV. And, you know, I remember being late to school that day because my mom was just like, what the F? And I knew things were bad when I was walking to school late and over the intercom, they started talking about it. And I knew that was a problem. And then I remember my history teacher, Mr. Shigela, sat us down, and he was a very vibrant and colorful speaker and orator, and was like, this day will live in infamy, and they're going to write about this, and this is the craziest thing that's ever happened. So, but and I also went to Temple that week, I remember, because very rarely would we go to Temple outside of like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So it was a packed house. People were very much into God that year, week, whatever, but it faded. So,
yeah, I was in, I think, 10th grade in chemistry class, and the announcement came over, and we put the TV on. And being
you were in 10th grade?
Yeah, I think so. 10th or 11th grade, maybe.
We're 2.5 years apart, and I was in 9th grade.
Well, it was 2001. I mean, I graduated in 2003. So I must have been a sophomore or maybe, okay. I don't know. I don't know, either 10th or 11th grade.
Okay.
And was in chemistry class. They turned on the TV. The announcement came over, and being a young man, I guess you could say that a boy, an old boy. I was an old boy at that time. That you know, you obviously didn't take it seriously. Teenagers think everything's stupid, and this is lame, and let's make fun of. I mean, kind of like made fun of it initially. And then I remember going into the front office, and the lady that I liked that worked at the front desk, she was crying. And I was like, oh, something's going on here that I didn't fully understand at the time. But boy, if only we knew what was to come. Like those days, I'm so glad I got to experience life up into that, at least, you know, my childhood, you know, and into adulthood. Adolescence. Yeah, I got to experience like the good times, I guess. And I think probably every generation thinks that, but that was really a big turning point because things were never the same after that day. Definitely for the worse. And, you know, I'm just kind of blessed that I was at least able to experience the milk and honey days of this country, where we kind of were growing instead of, telling everybody to eat bugs. And It's really kind of degraded over that period of time. It kind of started with taking your shoes off at the airport, and it's kind of ending, at least we're at now, like, hey, you're going to just be poor and like it and eat bugs and stuff because the climate is messed up. So screw you. And it's kind of all connected, and it kind of goes back to this, Osama bin Laden being a climate activist thing. It's kind of all interconnected. So there's so many moving pieces of the puzzle that, you know, you kind of feel like Charlie, and you know, that meme from, what's that show? The Philadelphia show, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, where he's connecting all the pieces and kind of crazy. That's what I feel like most of the time. But, I don't know. There's interesting connections there at the very least. I'm not saying that they're totally, true, but it's, I'm open-minded to them at the very least. So anyway, Anna, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking me off the ledge today. I'm really proud of myself because I thought I was just going to go insane, but I'm handling this like
with the lightning deal.
Yeah, I'm handling it like an adult. I'm keeping some sort of positivity. I'm not giving up hope, you know, because I don't know. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but we're going to see together. And thank you for not being a jerk to me, those of you that weren't, and those of you that were, I get it.
You understand.
I understand. So, Anna, we'll see you next week. Enjoy your 4 days off.
Where am I going?
I don't know. I think you're going to make YouTube videos with me for 4 days.
Where am I going after this?
You're going to karate class.
Thank you.
So enjoy that. I hope you chop some boards, beat up some children. And we'll see you next week.
All right. Thanks, Will.
No. Thank you, Anna Hummel. I appreciate you. Thank you for tuning in, everybody out there. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, I'd like you to stay tuned because Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next. If you're listening on podcast, I'd like you to please share it. Please head over to willsyoutube.com and join us live every Wednesday around 5 p.m. And if you are not doing any of those things, I understand. I told you, I understand. For Anna Hummel, my name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com. We'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSt.Pete.com.